with us right now is one of our favorite people. We have spoken to him many, many times, and my path has crossed with him many times over the years. And it's really true. There were two people in Southern California that we actually trust. One was Vin Scully, and the other is our guest, Fritz Coleman. Amen. Fritz Coleman, welcome aboard.
Let me tell you something. I feel like this is 1942, and I'm on the penthouse at the Statler Hilton Hotel, and you're wearing a tuxedo. This is swinging. You should be doing this every day.
Let's talk to the boss and see
if
we can make
that
happen.
I'm telling you, this is awesome, and you're so good at this stuff.
You know, Fritz, every place I go tends to skew towards 1942.
It harkens back to the best years in radio, and you're really good. You're so at home at this, and people come to see you, and the music sounds great. It's really a lot of fun.
Well, thanks, and thanks for coming out tonight, squeezing us in between the 6 and 11 o'clock news on KNBC4, who is our news partner, by the way, and we couldn't be happier to have that association. Fritz, you know, most people in Southern California know you, obviously, from your years doing weather, but your real first love was and remains comedy. As a stand-up comic, you've done one-man shows over the years. You've been on The Tonight. I think the first time I really saw you was as a stand-up on The Tonight Show.
Right.
Which you did how many times?
8 times.
Wow.
I did it with Johnny and Jay and Joan Rivers and Gary Shandling. I got a taste of all of them.
So you got to do all of them. And now, you know, and obviously when Carson was hosting The Tonight Show, that was like the glory days of The Tonight Show. And how big a thrill was it for you? Because I'm sure that you, like me, as a kid growing up, were watching The Tonight Show, and you could imagine yourself there.
Well, he was a hero of mine. I just love the power of a person being able to sit behind a desk and sort of wield people's emotions, be witty and fast. But it's just, it's a blank when you do it, especially the first time. And I got bumped twice before I finally got on. Because Johnny was fawning over Heather Locklear's recent surgery. And the second time, Charles Grodin wouldn't shut up. Yeah. And so I got bumped twice, which really was good because it took the edge off. Then I just wanted to get it over with. And people I had called around the United States weren't going to stay up anymore to watch me get bumped.
Yeah, so sure, Fritz. You're totally doing The Tonight Show this time.
Yeah, right.
So it took the pressure off. Do you remember any of the jokes from that first set?
I remember a sliver of a joke. I do sort of word pictures, and I describe working at Kmart, and I said it was the only place where you could find wedding gowns piled on picnic tables in the aisles. And it was just a description of that. So it was just metaphor-driven, mediocre humor.
No, not mediocre. I've seen you work both in clubs and also... you rocked the house at last year's Golden Mike Awards, where you got the Lifetime Achievement Award, and deservedly so from your peers. But it's funny now, I came out to California in 1985 to work on a sitcom with Jack Klugman and John Stamos that was shot at NBC.
On our lot. Right.
We were at stage 2, and then they moved us over to stage... we were on 9 and then moved to 2.
I saw you. I said, who is this man that looks like a Q-tip with glasses?
That's me.
His hair just glowed from across the lot.
Yeah. Yes. And I still look like a Q-tip. Or, as Steve Martin said, I look like a urinal.
Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
But, you know, when I was a kid working on the lot, it was so exciting to be on that NBC Burbank lot because of the Carson connection, because I had watched all those Tonight shows, and then to be there and to watch Carson pull in his Corvette every day, and Johnny had his own spot, and everybody was covertly taking pictures of the parking sign.
There was so much history on that lot, and you saw the shows that were in each of the stages painted on the doors there.
Right.
That was like a museum. That was the hardest part about leaving 3000 West Alameda and going up to Universal Studios, although we have a gorgeous new stage now. That was history, and it was 30 years of my career. It was really hard to leave that lot.
Yeah, we're talking with Fritz Coleman, of course, from KNBC4, from many, many years as the premier weather forecaster in Southern California. But also, talk to us about the two tracks that your career had, because I remember there was a time when you had a couple of one-man shows that you had written, and you were performing all over. Talking about your kids in particular, talking about that side of your life.
Well, I do a different kind of stand-up. I do what I call single-topic monologues. So I write a show, and then I go out and perform it until I run out of money, and then I quit, and I write another show, because nobody makes any money in theater.
No.
Especially if you're self-producing. So I had a series of one-man shows. The one you're talking about was about fatherhood. It was called It's Me, Dad. Then I did one about divorce called The Reception. Then I did one about the 11 o'clock news called Tonight at 11. And the one I'm doing now is called Defying Gravity. It's about being over 50. And I've been taking it all over the United States. I went to Hilton Head. I went to Wisconsin. I'm having so much fun doing it. And what makes it fun is I have day work. It can't hurt me. Yeah. I have this wonderful job, and I've been there a while, so I have a lot of vacation. So I go on the road and I perform and have fun.
It's great that you do that, because, you know, when I spent all those years in the sitcom business, and almost everybody I ever worked with as a sitcom writer felt like, when I get out of this, I'm going to write a play, I'm going to write a novel, I'm going to write something really important. And then most people eventually say, I'm not writing anything unless they pay me.
Right.
You really have to be self-motivated.
Hello.
I thought the segment was going well, Fritz, but I didn't think it was going that well.
The people love
I can't see what just happened because I'm blind. But on the monitor, it looks like some Dodger did something really good.
We're up 5-1 now.
Oh, there we go.
And he's
okay.
Safe at third.
Dodgers, D-backs game. Dodgers are winning 5-1.
But, you know, the reverse of what you say is true, too. I knew a lot of stand-ups that wanted to get off the road to have families, staffed up on a sitcom. Then the sitcom business had one of its low ebbs, yeah. And they had to dust off the old act and go back out on the road, which was horrible.
By the way, that low ebb that the sitcom industry had coincided exactly with my tenure in the industry.
You are the low ebb.
Oh, my God.
There comes the old low ebb.
But you got to work with Jack Klugman, man. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I actually, Jack is the one who brought me to California because I had met him working in the ad agency in New York. He was the spokesperson for Canon Copiers, and I wrote the mostly industrial films. And when they'd put out a new machine, Jack would do this, you know, wraparounds for an industrial. We would train people on how to use the sales staff on how to sell copiers. So he would have scintillating dialogue like the dry monocomponent toner projection development system is unique patented technology. You know, imagine giving that line.
But it's funny that you say that because do you know Tom Sharp, one of the great voices in commercial radio?
Right.
At any given time, you could hear his voice like three times in a 2-minute segment. He started in the ad business too. And what I find about guys that started in the ad business, they can write with brevity, they can be precise and don't use extra words. And he was a brilliant comic just because he had that Seinfeldian thing of not putting an extra syllable in anything he said.
Yeah, which is, by the way, the key to writing. There's a famous quote from the great French writer Balzac who said, I apologize for the length of this letter. I didn't have time to write you a short one. Because it does. To write tight is hard. But what I found coming from the sitcom world into radio, especially when I was doing the overnight show, midnight to 5, I had 5 hours in the middle of the night. Nobody is available as a guest at 3:20 a.m. on either coast, on other planets. You can't find a guest that you could book at 3:20 a.m.
That's why you're
Tuesday.
So good at riffing and filling large periods of time with
totally.
Talk.
But the problem is that everything that I had learned to do writing for television, where everything had to be so tight, worked against me when I had these vast periods of time that I had to fill in radio. Now all of a sudden, I remember the very first night I was on the air, I had, like a writer, I had prepared everything that I was going to say for the entire show.
Did you blow through that in 10 minutes?
I did the first segment and said, let's go to the phones, and nothing, no phone calls. And I had now said everything I had planned to say for 3 hours in 15 minutes and had this tumbleweed just blowing through the radio.
But it's so
studio.
Obvious your background as a writer because you're so funny and fast. And you also wrote for comics. You and I have a mutual friend, or had one, bless his heart, Max Alexander.
Oh, what a sweetheart. Let's talk about him when we come back.
Okay.
You know, when I did the show Red Eye Radio on KBC originally, which was midnight to 5 a.m., we used to have a lot of jazz musicians on. And what I found out when you do overnight radio, that your audience, well, people think it's probably like people who are coming from bars. And then they found out, well, that was the jazz musician. So it worked out perfect. That's why we used to have the guys that could come right after the gig.
The irony is you couldn't get a stand-up bass in your regular studio, so this is a real treat.
It is, and it's also a treat to have you with us, Fritz. Fritz Coleman is with us from KNBC4, our news partner, a Southern California icon. Now, by the way, when in your career did people like me start to refer to you as an icon? as a legend.
That's what happens. You reach a certain point. It's just a polite way of saying you're really old and I can't believe you're still employed.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. Not that we're surprised you're still employed, but there is a point where no one has ever talked about a 20-year-old legend.
No, I reserve it myself that way.
That's, you know, that's in your own head, Randy.
If somebody looks good in a bathing suit, they're not a legend. They haven't been around long enough to be a legend. You mentioned right before the last break, we had a great mutual friend talk about stand-up comics, Max Alexander, and he worked with you a lot.
Well, I had a show that followed Saturday Night Live for 2 years,
right,
called It's Fritz, and it was so wonderful for me personally because we succeeded in spite of ourselves. And Max was my co-host.
Right.
And we would do wonderful things because Max, if you didn't know him, he was Jerry Lewis's favorite stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And he weighed about 325, 330.
Oh, wow.
And we would make him do things like wear a kilt for the show. And he was so funny, and he was sort of hangdog and slow. And he would say things like, why would anyone buy a Mercedes station wagon? Are you going to haul lumber on the weekends in a Mercedes? Did you write that joke for him?
No, but I swear, I think I knew his entire act because he used to come out and he'd say, I bought a new suit to go on the Tonight Show. And while I was at the Big and Tall Men's shop, because I'm really tall, the guy with the tape measure and soap says to me, you know, we make jogging suits in your size. And I said, why?
He was wonderful. I always thought, wouldn't he have made a great next door neighbor in a sitcom? He was just hysterical.
You know, I used him in two different shows that I worked on. We had him on an episode of Full House when I was writing on Full House, and we also had him in an episode of Mike Hammer where he was a construction foreman getting out of the trailer with a hard hat on and a blueprint under his arm. And when he came out of the trailer, the whole trailer rocked back and forth for about 5 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
When the weight shifted. But he was a wonderful guy, and we lost him too soon. But he really was one of the funniest stand-ups. And you can see tons of Max's stuff on YouTube, which is around, it's still floating around. And that's one thing, by the way. Aren't you glad, because I know I am, thrilled that YouTube didn't exist when I was starting my career.
Oh,
since all
Lord.
That horrible,
seriously,
terrible stuff is not posted.
And not even
forever.
Entertainment-oriented things, just personal
general
mistakes that you've made
of
that
course,
may have God. Showed up on social
documented
media.
Documented forever.
Yes. Ooh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No, you're so right.
The entire series of Boogie's Diner would be online.
No, we don't need to see that. Ladies and gentlemen, Fritz Coleman is with us. Fritz, you just mentioned that you're still touring the show. Do you still write? Do you still write on
yep.
a regular basis?
I honestly, writing is 50% of the joy for me. It's a very zen thing for me to sit and just purge myself onto a legal pad.
Oh, you still write by hand?
Oh, yeah. I write on a legal pad with a number two pencil. It's awful, I know. And people look at me like, is he doodling or what's he doing? And while everybody else is on an iPad. No, I just love to write. I love the catharsis of writing something physical. And, you know, I do. I write every day. I write for a half hour to 2 hours every day if I can.
Well, that's how it gets done because, you know, when you stumble on... I've been cleaning up, purging the office of the tons of paper I've collected over the years. And I find a file of stuff that I wrote 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it surprises because it is like it's written by somebody else. Like I have no memory of having written it. And some of it actually impresses me. I go, wow, that's not bad. And then
that's
some of
truly
it,
the way to write comedy, though. Write it and then put it away and forget about it and read it later. Because if it holds up, even a month later, then it's a solid piece.
Yeah, I found stuff, though, in there, Fritz, that we could put... Ooh. That it could turn into diamonds from the pressure of the earth, and it wouldn't be any good. I don't care how deep we buried
it. Burn it, Doug. Burn
when it comes out, I look at it and go, oh, my God, I can't believe that the ink stuck to the paper
right.
for this.
It wasn't funny in 1987. It's
and
not
it's
funny
sure
now.
It's not funny now. But what is funny, though, when you find old material is you find things that actually don't exist anymore, joke punchlines mm-hmm. to things that have now become obsolete.
Or millennials probably have no idea what that meant.
Well, yeah.
Did you have like a whole stack of typewriter jokes or something?
Well, yeah, typewriter jokes. Well, look, Jerry Lewis was still doing the carriage return in 2011, so, you know, you can get away yeah. with it to an extent. But that's one of the things, too, is if you hang around long enough, you find out, wow, this stuff is, an audience literally doesn't know what that is anymore.
But sitcom writers know about the three acts and the act breaks and everything, and it never gets old. A testimonial to that is Will and Grace, which is now having a second life, and it's killing in the ratings,
it's
and
fantastic.
I'm so happy. It's really funny.
Well, I think also part of it is, that's a show, there's so much stuff out there that nobody knows. There's 420 shows on television. The people handing out the Emmy Awards don't know what the shows are.
No.
Yeah.
He said, I'd give it to Kelsey Grammer. He said, his show left the air 12 years ago. I'd give it to him anyway. because literally you can't keep track of it all. So Will and Grace was beloved.
Yeah.
And they brought it back with the original cast. And people at least recognize. That's why those I Love Lucy reruns still do great.
And I think it's, right. And I think there's a little bit of the sepia tone past. And, we're in such a dark time now that it reminds people of a happier time for themselves, so they're drawn to it a little bit.
It's comforting. It's like comfort food.
It's a good way to describe it.
And Megan Mullally only gets funnier every single year.
Cow.
She's
they're
my
all
favorite.
Yeah.
Who was your, when you were a kid growing up, who was the comic that you watched and said, you saw this person standing there?
The first time I saw stand-up, I saw George Carlin back on the East Coast. You're from the East Coast?
Yes. So
well, they had a thing in the summer called music circuses or music fairs.
The Westbury Music Fair
was
the one near me.
They had Melody Fair in Buffalo, New York, and they had the Valley Forge Music Fair near where I live.
The Cape Cod Melody Tent.
And they built these gorgeous stages that sat 3,000 people with a rotating stage, and my friends and I were in high school, and I went to see George Carlin, and it was, without exaggerating, a religious experience.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that somebody could talk for 90 minutes with no notes and seemingly ad-lib everything and just convulse this audience.
Brilliant.
It was the greatest power, other than a TV evangelist, I'd ever witnessed.
Yeah, I saw the same thing with Dangerfield at the Westbury Music Fair, where he worked the audience until they were literally gasping.
Yeah.
And then he said, all right, now we're talking, and he'd let them calm down and whip them back into that frenzy. The same way we have whipped the crowd at Barney's
Beanery
into this frenzy.
It sounds like they're watching a Dodger game. That's how exciting they are.
Hey, Fritz, as always, we can't thank you enough for coming out here, and you'll be on KNBC4 tonight at 11 o'clock.
So God willing, depending on how Coldplay goes and I get back.
Yes.
But I just want to thank you for occasionally inviting me on your show. People comment about it all the time. You're awesome. You're very talented.
He's
and
the best.
I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Now you know why we invited him to be here. Ladies and gentlemen, Fritz Coleman from KNBC4. Thanks so much, Fritz.